Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. An Easter message from President Trump and a little note on by their fruit. Some muse on the news to amuse and deconfuse, perhaps defuse. All right. Yeah, contrived to be droll, probably a bit too chucklesome for these dour days. Anyway, I mused on woke ideology regarding crime, election integrity, Nimrod's Tower Builders, that's the globalists for those of you who don't know, our freedom of speech at risk, and the vax attacks continue. Then, Lord willing, I'll wrap it up with, were they Christian nationalists? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
An Easter message from President Trump. I forget which year Trump offered the following remarks in celebration of Easter. It might have been his first Easter as president. You've never heard any president speak as clearly about the meaning of Easter.
My fellow Americans, at this holy time of the year, families across our nation gather in homes, churches, and synagogues to light candles and to praise God. During the sacred holiday of Passover, Jewish families around the world give thanks to God for liberating the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt and delivering them to the promised land of Israel. For Christians, we remember the suffering and death of God's only Son and his glorious resurrection on the third day. On Easter Sunday, we proclaim with joy, Christ is risen. Both of these sacred celebrations remind us that God's love redeems the world. Almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Darkness covers the earth, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light." In America, we look to the light of God to guide our steps. We trust in the power of the Almighty for wisdom and strength. And we praise our Heavenly Father for the blessings of freedom and the gift of eternal life. Happy Passover, happy Easter. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Believe it or not, there are many who call themselves Christian who hate Trump. Hatred. Unbecoming of a Christian, I think. Even those who admit he was a good president will often preface their remarks with something they don't like about him. Look, as a kid, I used to visit an orange tree orchard near our home in Anaheim. We lived on Bayless, there off Catella. Orange trees are not particularly pretty, right? But one day, I think I found the ugliest orange tree in the entire orchard. It was notably ugly. I climbed up the tree, found a perching branch, and pulled down an orange. I peeled it and pulled off a slice. And when I bit into that orange, man, it was the juiciest, sweetest orange I had ever eaten. It was good. It was so good. I was not more than 8 years old, but I remember that orange like it was yesterday. Friend, it's about the fruit, not the form. I made that my go-to tree. It consistently provided the best fruit. Now, I actually appreciate the brutal honesty of our president. I find his candor refreshing. By the way, the real one, not that phony pretender Biden. You look at him, you know. What a smile, right? He's the big guy. Yeah, the tough guy who brought the president of Ukraine to his knees now commands the full power of the corrupt FBI to bring Americans to bow to his tyranny. More on that in a moment. No one can lie like Biden. I mean, he is, after all, best at some things. Extortion and treason come to mind. That's the fruit you find on that tree. Trump, what a difference. Did you know he served as president without taking a paycheck from the American people? Not one. Yeah, he kept America out of war. The only one to do that in my memory. His presidency produced the fruit of peace. That began to even prevail in the Middle East, my friend. He never weaponized the coercive powers of government to attack his political enemies. He took care of that himself. I'm speaking rhetorically. He never made up outrageous lies like Russiagate and used them to get a warrantless warrant to spy on American citizens. He honored God publicly, respected prayer in the Bible, and honored faith in God. We have it on very high authority that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that authority happens to be someone we are celebrating this week, Jesus the Christ. Listen to what Trump said about faith.
We know that in solving the many, many problems and our great challenges, faith is more powerful than government, and nothing is more powerful than God. Since the signing of the Declaration of Independence 241 years ago, America always affirmed that liberty comes from our Creator. Our rights are given to us by God, and no earthly force can ever take those rights away. Our religious liberty is enshrined in the very First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. The American founders invoked our Creator four times in the Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Franklin reminded his colleagues at the Constitutional Convention to begin by bowing their heads in prayer. Faith has forged the identity and the destiny of this great nation that we all love. Our nation will be renewed by hard work, a lot of intelligence, and prayer. We don't want to see God forced out of the public square, driven out of our schools, or pushed out of our civic life. We want all children to have the opportunity to know the blessings of God. Prayer changes hearts, transforms lives. It uplifts the soul, inspires action, and unites us all. We thank God for the faith of our people. We praise God for the blessings of freedom. And whether we are black or brown or white, and you've heard me say this before, we all bleed the same red blood. We all salute the same great American flag. And we are all made by the same Almighty God. We ask God to forever bless this magnificent land that we all love so much, America. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would say the fruit of Trump's presidency and the fruit of his policies, what resulted from his actions as president, tells you what sort of man he is. Compare his fruit to Biden's. What has come of Biden's actions and policies and administration? Inflation, and then lies to cover it up. Wars, and more wars. An invasion across our borders, and then all of that based on lies. The weaponization of the corrupt FBI to attack his political opponents, including moms, you know, who go to school board meetings to protest against exposing their children to perversity. Or moms who get a little too salty in their anger and tweet some expletive against him. Oh, and pro-life Catholics, by the way, verbally abusing Christian patriots, calling them terrorists, and using lie after lie to turn our neighbors against one another. He foments division. The fruit of Biden's presidency compared to the fruit of Trump's presidency. And then look at this. Yesterday, four living presidents all gathered in New York City. Three of them were there for a political fundraising event with Stephen Colbert. You know, that idiot that frolicked like a clownish buffoon with the famous death jab dancers, we'll call them, led by Colbert in the video here dubbed the Cringe Syringe Remix. Remember that? Colbert, the king of cringe. Only one of the former presidents of the four was there to attend the wake of that fallen New York police officer who was killed in the line of duty serving New Yorkers. Now I'm going to give you the names of these four living presidents, all of them in New York on the same day, and you tell me where each of them was at. The four living presidents are Biden, Obama, Clinton, and Trump. Huh, that was easy. You know what? I'll bet not a single Democrat missed that one. We all know who these men are. We know them by their fruits. That is, we know them by the results of their actions and their policies. Biden walked away with $23 million for his campaign to make America corrupt and broken. Trump went to Awake, grieved with New Yorkers, comforted the bereaved, and paid off the widow's mortgage. Some muse on the news. I'm not sure I'm going to keep using that. We'll see. The woke are a very unfunny joke, really. And it's getting unfunnier by the minute. Here is someone honored to be elected mayor of her city, St. Louis, Missouri, who has an answer to the outrageous outbreak of crime occurring at and around convenience stores and gas stations there. Folks, this is a case of you just can't fix stupid. The mayor made the following statement, quote, "We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations. So how can we hold those business owners accountable and also bring down crime?" End quote. You got to be kidding me. Does she want to know how to hold the business owners accountable? What? Well, look, if you're not going to allow the police and to enforce the law, then allow the property owners to enforce it. If you will not use the taxpayers' money you collect to provide adequate protection for your citizens, well, give that money to the store owners and let them hire security. Give the store owner a gun with a badge strapped to his waist, complete with the power to arrest and detain until the paddy wagon can finish its latest deliveries of violent thieves to the who's cow. Yeah, that is a word, by the way. It originated here in the West, by the way. That's free counsel for the sleepwalking woke mayor of St. Louis. Enforce the law. But this next item goes beyond woke mayors confused about what to do to reduce crime and hold the victims accountable for what the criminals do. Three FBI agents from the Oklahoma City office, FBI office, dressed undercover, by the way, who flashed their credentials as their target citizen of Stillwater, Oklahoman, named Rola Abdeljawad, excused herself to go get her camera. Smart move. When she returned and asked them to show their credentials, well, they refused. She had not taken time to examine them earlier. They just kept saying, well, we've already done that. One said, "I'm not going to show my credentials on the phone." Okay. They did not offer a way for her to verify that they were FBI. They said they just came to chat with her about a post she put up on her Facebook page. Really? FBI showing up at your door to talk to you about Facebook pages? Her message on the Facebook post was F Biden. Not very delicate, but certainly expressive of her opinion. One officer explained, "What we want to do is just have some conversation with you about some social media postings that you've made. Would you be willing to talk to us about them?" Rola said, "No, you can talk to my lawyer." Now, get this. One of the FBI agents stated, in answer to a question I didn't write down, "What am I supposed to tell them, that Facebook flagged one of my posts?" The agent explained, quote, "Facebook gave us a couple of screenshots of your account," end quote. Hello. Rola said, quote, "So we are not living in a free country anymore," end quote. Reasonable assertion. "Then something about you can't arrest me for free speech," to which another FBI agent agreed they couldn't arrest her for exercising her right to free speech and assured her they weren't there to arrest her. They just wanted to talk to her about her postings. She reasonably countered, "So it's weird. If you're not here to arrest me, if I haven't committed any crime, why are you here to talk to me or question me about my exercise of free speech?" The FBI agent tells her, quote, "We do this every day, all day long. We talk to people. It's just an effort to keep everybody safe, to make sure nobody has any ill will, bad intent, or anything like that. And we have no reason necessarily to believe that that's you, and that's why we want to have a conversation." They have no basis to believe that she's in any way having something, this new crime called having ill will, or this new crime calling having bad intent, or something like that. We have no evidence at all that you have any of those, but we just want to have a conversation with you about what you posted on social media because, why? Well, because she doesn't like their boy. Rola says, "So you have concerns about my personal opinions?" And that's when the FBI agents begged off and they left. Now, friend, this is Gestapo tactics, American style. You know, the Nazis have learned at least some things. Violate the people's human rights all you want, just do it nice. I've never heard of this until now, but it's true. Facebook is sending to the FBI screenshots of what you post on your page. So FBI has a new meaning, FB with its eye on you. Okay. Then the FBI sends a team out to investigate you. No wonder they didn't have time to watch for any terror attacks going on. Like, you know, what likely happened there in Boston, that cargo ship that took out Francis Scott Key Bridge. Facebook is spying on you. How about that? You like that? The FBI did not go to Facebook with a profile supporting a suspicion of a character, along with a warrant, and ask for Facebook postings for a specific person over a specified period of time. No, that would be too much like America. That would be too much like following the Constitution for these guys. No. Now Facebook is sending posts like, you know, F Joe Biden. Remember the chant, "Let's go, Brandon"? Yeah, you know all about that. And the FBI now is using that as actionable intelligence, triggering a light conversation, a visit from the FBI. Here's another case. An individual who calls himself the Misfit Patriot received a visit from FBI agents. He recorded the visit and shared it with us. You can see the link here in my notes. They declared themselves, showed their badge on camera, by the way, and explained that they were there to talk to him about his social media posts. There was no specific post that concerned them, they said. They reviewed his posts and found nothing illegal. They were only following up as a matter of routine to check off a box. The FBI is pressuring YouTube, I understand. It probably doesn't take a whole lot of pressure from that corrupt, fascist, Nazi-run organization. But anyway, I'm reading, quote, "The DOJ is ordering Google to release the names and addresses of YouTube viewers who watch specific videos," end quote. 1984, anyone? Are you okay with this? Yeah, careful, it's a trick question. Your answer tells you whether or not you're an American. And I'm not talking about citizenship. I'm talking about heart and soul. I mentioned Rola earlier and her experience with the FBI. She's making the same mistake so many are making right now. She concluded her video signing off with, "This is America." Now, she said it sarcastically. I think I get her meaning. I'd have to talk to her to know for sure what her sentiments are on this. But I hear that a whole lot. And friend, this is not America. This is what the 1600 Nazis brought over here after World War II in an operation called Operation Paperclip, who were tasked to start the NSA and head up our CIA. Because, you know, no one knows national security like goose-stepping Heil Hitlerian Nazis, right? Yeah. Let's close the first segment with this topper. Washington State passed a law that encouraged co-workers, students, and other neighbors to denounce each other to the authorities if they speak in a politically unacceptable manner. The law does not even provide a process by which someone falsely accused can clear their name. They are paying these stooges a cool $2,000 in Federal Reserve printed notes to report their neighbors for hate crimes and, get this, bias incidents. Bias incidents, friends. When did that become a crime? Where's that in the statutes? All crimes are hate crimes, and since when is bias a crime? I'll catch you on the other side for more Muse on the News.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Every day, we see proof of the wisdom of our founders. We've acknowledged the right of unbelievers to make their own choice for or against Christ. But see how they're not content that we should make room for their rebellion? Daily, they attempt to force us to join them in it. They would force us to teach our children the life-threatening lifestyle of the sodomites. They force us to fund the atrocity of baby murder. We have acknowledged it's their choice to receive or rebel against Christ, but they have used that freedom to take away our liberties. The battle for America is on. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The Nimrodians are furiously building their tower. The one world globalist, you know, carrying on in the tradition of wicked Nimrod. Genesis 10, in case you want to know. Well, I've got news for you, Mr. Carl Schwab et al. So long as the temple of God remains on this earth and the Holy Ghost is here to resist your spirit of Antichrist, try to build your one world government, well, once again, your tower is going to fall. Schwab is lecturing us again. Now he's telling us to get used to total erosion of privacy. He follows that with the tagline he picked up from George Orwell when he read 1984. When he read 1984. If you have anything to hide, you shouldn't be afraid. Yeah, I always say that. I want 24/7 cameras on Carl. I want a camera watching that guy everywhere he goes. Let's see how he likes zero privacy. He flies around on a private jet, man. He doesn't even do privacy on a jet. If you have nothing to hide, he said. Well, if you have nothing to hide, Mr. Carl Schwab, practice what you preach. Let's see how he likes zero privacy. Hey, if you have nothing to hide, why not? 1984 is the globalist handbook. I imagine them giggling when they read it, like Gates talking about giving children shots. We just stick it right there in their arm, like that. He's gesturing as he, you know, putting a shot in his arm. Wide Awake Media asks, who made Klaus Schwab emperor? Good question. I think Lucas modeled the emperor in his story after this guy. Carl's prophet, Yuval Noah Harari, predicts technology will make humans redundant. His word. This will, he explains, make a massive class of useless people who will need to be kept happy with drugs and computer games. And he's not joking, my friend. This is the utopia they envision for you. Harari said, quote, now we see the creation of a new massive class of useless people. As computers become better and better in more and more fields, there is a distinct possibility that computers will outperform us in most tasks and will make humans redundant. And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for? Well, who needs him? So here's a way to address the useless eaters problem quietly. You know, it's the plan that gets a giggle out of Gates every time. Har har. Clinton, Obama, and Bush, too, are on board with the whole vax scam. Push, push, push those vax, right? The science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease, end quote. Listen, the real science is clear that these vaccines are deadly. They're harmful. Back in the days of Gerald Ford, they trotted out with a vaccine. They hurried to get out there for everybody. And it was, what did it kill? 50 people? And they pulled it off the market? This thing has killed well. Oh, good night. We don't even get started on that conversation. I'll be interviewing a PhD in virology and biology who has something to say about all this. She personally worked with a small team of scientists examining over 3,000 vials of vaccine a few years ago. You would have been surprised at what she discovered. But now you're just going to say, yeah, figures. What's going on? Thank you, Peter Sweden, at Peter Sweden 7 on X. Here's a 37-year-old Canadian mother who was forced to be vaccinated in order to allow her to visit her father. Well, she became paralyzed after receiving the Moderna jab. The Canadian hospital, on two separate occasions, tried to talk her into opting for medically assisted death. Mad, and it is. Something they do in Canada, you know, just kill you and encourage you to kill yourself. She's suing Moderna for $45 million. Hope she gets it. But you probably have not heard about this, certainly not from the so-called MSM. Well, this is an isolated case, you say. Well, if you think so, you're definitely not awake. Wake up, for heaven's sake. This is not a bad dream you're having. This is really happening to us. All right. Happy Easter, my dear friends. Enjoy the holiday. The word Easter, by the way, has no linguistic connection to Ishtar, beyond the imagination of that priest who came up with that silly notion and the imagined similarity you hear in the sound of the two words. And you got to work a little bit even to get that, you know. It's a German cognate, my friend. It means resurrection. The Christians were already not celebrating the Jewish Passover. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in its place. After the supper cup, by the way, he had finished the Passover meal and then introduced the Lord's Supper. Passover has, well, passed over. It's a beautiful ceremony. I don't discourage anybody celebrating it. Or I just need you to understand what happened here. The Apostle Paul called the memorial that we use the Lord's Supper. And that's why Tyndale selected the word to translate Passover in Acts 12. Christians celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Our Christian roots are important to our heritage. All our founders were professing Christians. Were they Christian nationalists? Well, was George Washington a Christian nationalist when he told his troops, "You would do well to add to the noble title patriot the even more noble title of Christian"? Was John Jay, our first Supreme Court Chief Justice, a Christian nationalist when he said Christians and a Christian nation should prefer Christians to rule over them? Was Patrick Henry a Christian nationalist when he said, "America is founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ"? Was Joseph Story a Christian nationalist when, in a major ruling of the Supreme Court, he declared, "America was then and had before always been a Christian nation"? I think you secularists have had your go, and you've almost totally ruined the country. It's time we take it back. It's no longer your toy to play with in Marx's sandbox. It's time that the genuine Christians rise up and take this country back under God. If George Washington, John Jay, Patrick Henry, Witherspoon, Adams, Hamilton, and more than half of the Declaration signers had religious degrees from Christian institutions, look, if that's Christian nationalism, count me in. I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Send me an email. You can call me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you. My dear friends, God bless America, and come enjoy Easter services with us.
My fellow Americans, at this holy time of the year, families across our nation gather in homes, churches, and synagogues to light candles and to praise God. During the sacred holiday of Passover, Jewish families around the world give thanks to God for liberating the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt and delivering them to the promised land of Israel. For Christians, we remember the suffering and death of God's only Son and His glorious resurrection on the third day. On Easter Sunday, we proclaim with joy, "Christ is risen." Both of these sacred celebrations remind us that God's love redeems the world. Almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Darkness covers the earth, but the Lord rises upon you and His glory appears over you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light." In America, we look to the light of God to guide our steps. We trust in the power of the Almighty for wisdom and strength. And we praise our Heavenly Father for the blessings of freedom and the gift of eternal life. Happy Passover. Happy Easter. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Let My People Breathe, Unmasking the Mass Controversy with Science and Scripture, available wherever you buy your books. God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses, because freedom loses, liberty loses. The battle for America is on. God's War 2020.com.